Who am I?
Why do I feel this way?
How come my life doesn't work?
How can I be happier?
Call us. We'll talk. Open Air with Zen teacher Sherry Huber, hosted by Michael Gray. Every Tuesday from 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. on KZSU Stanford. 90.1 on the FM dial, on the internet at kzsulive.stanford.edu. Be there. I didn't really plan that, but the end of that promo seems to work pretty well.
Be there.
Be
and,
there.
And we are.
And here. We are here. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is wherever they are.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully here.
Hopefully here.
Wherever we are, hopefully we are here.
We are here. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're going to be talking about mm-hmm. today, being here, mm-hmm. which is what we talk about every day.
Every day.
Exciting. You're tuned to KZSU Stanford. You can pick us up in the Bay Area at 90.1 FM. On the internet, you can pick us up at kzsulive.stanford.edu. The show is Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it's great to be here with you.
Great to be here as always. Don't we say that every single week?
Yes, and it seems to be our experience.
It does, doesn't it? We're actually being sincere about that.
Wonderful.
It's one of my very favorite things in the world, doing this show.
Great.
Being here in this little studio on Tuesday evenings. It's wonderful.
It's fun. For me, it feels like we get to connect with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about something really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm hoping that we're going to hear from a lot of people so that we can talk about the interesting things that in their lives.
Absolutely.
And since we all are way more alike than we're different, contrary to what we've been taught to believe, what is of interest to each one of us tends to be of interest to all of us. So we can
Absolutely.
All contribute in that way.
Absolutely. So if you're listening to us right now, I'd like you to consider picking up the phone, giving us a call. You can reach us at 650-723-9010.
That was very good. You know, it sounded like a pitch for a contribution. It sounded like we were public radio and we were on a fund drive. And actually, we don't want their money. Well, that's not true. You know, we're a nonprofit. Of course, we want their money, but that's not the point of what we're doing here. Here, we just want them to call in.
Right. And eventually, we want their money.
And talk about life issues.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we'll get the money later.
I forget what they call that on public radio, where it's a pledge drive.
Pledge
and
drive,
a couple days.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. Pick up that phone. Consider picking up that phone if you're out there listening to us. That was very good.
So if you are listening to us, please consider picking up that phone. And we have a caller on the line. I'd like to welcome Julie from Sacramento. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm calling to share a problem I have at home.
Uh-huh.
I have a grandson who called and asked me if he could stay with me. And he's not living at home anymore, but he has a lot of problems, and he had a drug problem. And my concern now is his father's in Los Angeles, and do I call him and involve him more? I've tried to, but I think that he's in denial, and I feel caught in a situation here, not
okay.
quite sure what to do.
Yeah. Well, now, of course, as I'm fond of pointing out, I never give people advice, because that would be disrespectful. I'm absolutely convinced that we all know when we look deeply and carefully into our own hearts and minds, we know what is the thing for us to do, the direction for us to take. So I'll just hopefully ask you some questions and point out some things for you to consider, and then you'll take the next step. So what exactly is it that makes you feel caught?
Well, first of all, I've done everything I know to do.
Uh-huh.
And
so you've helped your grandson as much as it feels like you can help him.
Yes, and I admit, I need to accept that this is as far as I can take it. But what worries me is I think maybe his father could maybe do more, because he adores his father so much, but he paints a very positive picture. His father doesn't think there's any problem.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, his father's way down at the other end of the state. So, mm-hmm.
And is it an option for your grandson to go down and stay with him?
No, it's not. He's remarried and has two little girls, and he's not wanted there.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And can you be honest with your grandson about this?
Like, what would I say to him?
Well, would you love to take him in?
I have already.
Uh-huh. And mm-hmm. and you would love to be able to do that?
No, he's been with me 3 months, and he's made progress, and he got off drugs, and now he's had some slips, and so we had a contract together. You know, I gave him a couple of chances, but then he's had to move out. I provided a place for him to go and paid
right.
for it. So,
yeah, so you would love to help him, and
you have helped him
as much as you can.
Yes.
You would love to be able to make the difference in his life, and where the way you see it now, you are not able to do that.
Right.
And you're really not willing to do any more.
No, I don't think it's going to help.
Right. And can you be honest with him about that?
Yeah, I have.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And so you feel good about where you are. I mean, good. That's a never mind. Forget
yeah.
that.
I didn't say that.
You don't feel good about any of this. But you feel settled. You know that this is what you have done. This is as much as you can do, and that's how it is.
Yeah, but it feels awful.
Well, sure. Of course it feels awful. And so your real question is, and we'll get back to that feels awful. Your real question is then simply, should you call his father?
I guess I'm mad at his father.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
I feel like he should have been more involved in the beginning. If I could do it all over again, so this comes back to I'm mad at myself, really, that I didn't say in the very beginning, this is too much for me. You need to come up here, and you need to see how lost this person is, because he hadn't seen him in a couple of years, and he didn't know, and he just kept giving me, oh, no, he's not really addicted. Oh, no, he made all the things that my grandson has said to him, and he's bought into it, and he's
right.
kind of naive about it, or
uh-huh.
maybe he's in denial about it. I don't
uh-huh.
know, but I just kind of want to shake him.
Uh-huh. So you're angry. You're angry at you mm-hmm. for not being clearer and stating.
Jumping in and taking charge when, mm-hmm. you know, maybe I should have incorporated, you know, had
yeah.
him come
and,
in sooner.
And you're angry at your son.
Yes.
For not being more responsible from
yes.
your perspective, not
getting
listening
involved.
To you, getting involved, doing more. I would guess you're
leaving it in my lap, and then he's also judged me.
Uh-huh. Well, that's
like the way I did things.
Yeah, that's what we do, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems we're specialists in judging others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if something happens with me, I figure out how you're to blame.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. And I would project that you're also angry with your grandson.
Well, yes, but you know,
it's levels of responsibility, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You're the most responsible because you're the oldest, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you're the mother, and then your son is the next most responsible because he's also a parent, but he's also been influenced by you. So, and then the third level of responsibility is your grandson. And it's really easy for us until people get to a certain age to say, well, you know, it's really not his fault because, have you ever noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
We get a lot of excuses made for us until we hit a certain age, and I've never figured out exactly what that age is. And then suddenly we are now the guilty party and somebody else is the innocent. Mm-hmm. So, angry, upset. Sad?
Yes.
Kind of overwhelmed?
Yes.
Yeah. And wishing that you didn't feel this way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, what we're taught to believe is that if somebody would do something, you wouldn't feel the way you feel. If you had done something way back when, you wouldn't feel this way. If your son would have done something, you wouldn't feel this way. If your grandson would do something, you wouldn't feel this way. And Are you with me on that?
Yes.
Yeah. And from my perspective, all of life is our very best opportunity. This is what we say around the monastery all the time. The whole thing goes like this. We have many guidelines, but only one rule. And that is that we will use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so that we can stop that and end suffering. So all of this, I bet you can go back in your life as far as you want to go, and the feelings are not that different. Okay? There's always been something to be upset about, something to be angry about, something to feel guilty about, feel bad about, feel sad about.
As long as I'm in relationship with people,
I'm telling you.
I don't see it.
Aren't people the worst?
Way out of it.
I'm telling you. And the thing is, when we're alone, we find out we're still in relationship with people because we have ourselves.
and they still live in our head.
That's exactly right. And so perhaps this is the place in life that's going to force you to make peace with the way you feel. To know that you can feel sad about something and it doesn't mean there's anything wrong or that you need to do anything. You can even feel guilty about something. It doesn't mean there's anything wrong and doesn't mean there's anything to be done. How's that for a concept?
Well, when you talk like that, what I want to say back to you is you don't understand.
Yeah, I know.
You don't understand that this is my fault.
Yeah, I know. Because you're right, I don't understand that. Yeah, because I don't believe that.
Well, I always think it's my fault.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Yeah. You're a woman, number one. You're a mother, number two.
Stepmother, too.
Oh, a stepmother, well. Yeah. Then clearly, everything is your fault. Yeah. And, you know, people will say, well, it's because I was raised in this religion or because, you know, I'm of this ethnicity or whatever it is. But probably not. You know, we all have the ability to suffer over the way we feel. And we're taught to suffer over the way we feel. And I'm just taking a stand for it's not necessary. It never was true. It's not true. And it's not going to be true. So my little way of talking about this, as long as you are willing to feel bad, there'll be something to feel bad about. As long as you're willing to be angry or to blame or to find fault or to judge, there'll be something to be angry about, to find fault over, to judge, to blame. Okay? So we can project all of that outside of ourselves and find places to blame, to project that onto. Find people who are doing it wrong, including ourselves, right? Because it gets projected outward onto us as well. There's a voice inside your head that says, this is all your fault. You're to blame for this. Okay? So as long as we're willing to do that, that system will be in place. But you can figure out, you can find a way, you can come to know and realize and prove to yourself that it's not true. That life is life. And we are the way we are, and things happen as they happen. And all of this conditioned belief and emotion around life is something that we do to torture ourselves. It's a system that's in place to take the fun out of life. It doesn't help. It doesn't help anybody for you to be miserable about life circumstances. If it did, I would encourage you to be miserable. If it was going to save your grandson,
yes,
give your son a happy life,
right,
ensure you a long, happy life,
I
would say, go, Julie, torture yourself day and night. But you know it doesn't work. It doesn't help anything.
It
doesn't help you. So I'm not actually technically here to sell books, but I would mention one to you. And that's the latest one that I put out called When You're Falling Dive.
When you're falling, dive?
When you're falling, dive.
Oh, okay.
And it takes you step by step through how to see how this all of this got put in place and how to dismantle it, how to remove those belief systems from yourself so that you can feel as you feel without it meaning what you've been taught to believe it means. So you can feel sad without it meaning that you're a bad person or that your grandson is in danger. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. And another, you know, I'm not here to sell this either, but I'm going to mention it to you, okay?
All right.
Meditation.
Yes.
Yeah. Sitting down and sitting still and watching all of it arise, watching, listening to the voices in your head that just tell you over and over and over that you're a bad person and you've done it all wrong. Just ask yourself, what is this in aid of? How is this helping anything? Surely I would have much more energy, enthusiasm, willingness to bring to the situation if I weren't constantly being beaten up for real and imagined crimes.
Well, thank you so much for listening to me.
Will you let us know how you do?
Oh, yes.
Okay. Right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us, Julie. Sherry, I was thinking as you were talking to Julie, this sort of familiar pull to feeling bad. It seems that we get comfortable with that or we grow up with that.
It's familiar, even though it's miserable, because if I believe that I'm a bad person, then having that reinforced, and for most of us, life will reinforce that.
Absolutely.
You know, there are conflicts with people and this, you know, family members that don't see eye to eye, and people get into difficult, painful life circumstances. I mean, there's a ton of information that we could use to reinforce those beliefs, if as long as we believe that they're true and that that's what we should be doing.
Right.
Yeah.
As you were talking about, if I'm willing to feel miserable, then I'm going to find something to feel miserable about.
Always. Yeah.
Always.
And it's I really appreciate it when Julie said, you know, when you say that, I want to say you don't understand. Because
right.
that's true. It's true for all of us. If you're feeling really bad about something you know has happened at work or in your home life or whatever, I don't actually know how you feel. I don't. But I know how I feel under those same circumstances. I know my version of suffering over a relationship isn't working or job stuff or whatever it is. So in this moment, no, I don't know that. And I can go to my own experience of the times that I have caused myself to suffer over circumstances, relationships, people, you know, that sort of thing. And in that way, we are all pretty much alike. And the problems that we have are very similar, and the solutions are equally similar.
Yes.
So the content, you know, we can say, but you don't understand, and it's true. You know, you're having relationship problems. I'm not having relationship problems. I'm really happy at my job, and you hate yours, you know. But unhappy, suffering, don't like it, feeling bad, unworthy, we can all go there in a second.
Yes, yeah. All the same.
Yeah, all the same. Yeah.
Great. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We're talking about some great stuff, so please give us a call. You can reach us at 650-723-9010. Phones are ringing off the hook here.
Excellent.
So we better get to people. I'd like to welcome Beth from Pittsburgh. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Good evening, Sherry.
Hi there.
Hi. The last conversation you had with the person before was really helpful.
Good.
Yeah, I'm planning an
extended... You know, it's funny. Excuse me just a moment, but it may not have been that helpful for Julie, but it's helpful for all the rest of us, which is one of the reasons I like to do this. Do you know?
Right.
Yeah, so we're listening to somebody else's difficulties and thinking, oh, yeah, I know that place. Oh, wow, yeah, I feel that way. Oh, that's interesting. So maybe I don't have to believe, you know, we can be just that step back just far enough that we can hear the conversation and think, oh, I can see how I could apply some of that to myself. But boy, it's tough when it's our own stuff, as we say.
Our own stuff is so close.
Ooh, yeah,
clouded,
so real.
And convoluted. Yeah, it's real.
So real, yeah.
Yeah, I've been planning an extended trip.
Uh-huh.
And I've been planning it since about the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And this really interesting thing has been happening with it. I'll make a plan, that's what I'm going to do, and I'll wake up the next morning and do just the opposite.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I've been considering selling off some of my business, and I put everything in line to do that, and it got down to the day to put the ad in the paper, and I changed my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Decided it would be better just to keep the clients.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, in my world, we talk about that process in a slightly different way.
Okay.
And that is that a different person woke up in the morning. Right? So one person says, and again, you know, they're all called I, so it makes it very challenging. I'm going to sell off part of my business. Yep, that's what I'm going to do. Next morning, somebody else wakes up and goes,
That's crazy.
I don't want to sell off my business. I want to... Okay, and they all sound like they're the same person, but they are not. Yeah.
Yeah, it's... I know part of the truth is that I don't really know what's going to happen.
Yes.
And making plans, it's kind of like just putting your best foot forward.
Exactly. Or for many of us, just a foot. You know, anyone we can find to put forward. If it's the best foot, well, that's a boon.
That's judgment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been planning on driving.
Uh-huh.
I've got my route picked out. I know where I'm going to stop each night. Been putting a lot of work into that. And this morning I decided I was going to fly.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And,
you know, it could be very helpful to change your language.
Okay.
So a part of me decided to drive and put a lot of energy into laying out the route and where I'm going to stay every night. And then another part of me woke up and decided to fly.
Okay.
Yeah, because otherwise you sound, wishy-washy would be a nice way to talk about it, right? A flake.
Yeah.
You spend all this time planning a driving route and then decide to fly. That's flaky.
Yeah.
But if they're different, if they're different parts of you, then it makes perfect sense.
They all seem to have really strong opinions.
Yes. Well, because each one of them considers it my life.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's as if I'm planning to drive across country, and then you make plane reservations. I mean, can you imagine? Or the other way around. You know, I mean, you'd be furious. Anybody would, or upset, or whatever, however you want to talk about what the emotional reaction would be to somebody just coming in and taking over your life. And that's what it feels to each one of them. I don't want to do that. I don't want to sell my business. I don't want to go on that trip. I don't want to go by car or by air. I don't want to go. Somebody else says...
all these roadblocks up.
Yep.
Yeah, because I'm beginning to wonder how all of us are going to get out there.
Yes. Yes. It's always an amazing thing, isn't it? And people, of course, talk about those times in life when everybody gets on board at the same time. They're kind of magical. You know, I'm gonna go on a trip, and everybody wants to go.
Hmm.
Yeah. So nobody's saying I don't want to. This is crazy. I can't afford it. Nobody's saying any of that. It's just yes. We're gonna take a new job. Everybody says yes. Oh wow.
Yeah.
Well, life could be easy.
Clicks and flows.
Yeah, life could be easy under these circumstances. Mm-hmm.
So this is just conditioning.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would suspect so.
Yeah, but it's driving me crazy, though.
Oh, yeah, sure. And that's, of course, another person.
Yeah.
Right? So there's an I who just stepped up and said, and it's driving me crazy.
Right.
All those sub-personalities are driving me crazy. Okay? And to get it that, oh, that's just another sub-personality. You know, in awareness practice, you know, we do that, it's not what, it's how.
It's how.
And this is a perfect example. If we could approach life as an awareness workshop, how happy we would be. But instead, we get caught up thinking it's about life and getting it right and being the right person and getting through this unscathed. And so life becomes very tricky and painful, arduous. Okay? Because I'm not getting up every day to say, wow, I wonder what's going to happen today. Okay, I get up with my little planner and my agenda, and I go out into life that did not read the plan, didn't even look at my calendar, and then I'm in a state by about 10 o'clock because it's not going the way it should go.
And I have no idea which way to...
That's right.
I don't know where I fit in at all.
That's right. Well, the information that we get over and over and over is that the person who wants to do something other than what's going on in life is going to have a rough go. So here's my best encouragement, since the phones, they are a-flashing.
Mm.
I would do a little survey. May get all of these people and get them to write down how they would like it to be. The one who wants to go, the one who doesn't want to go. The one who wants to drive, the one who wants to fly. The one who wants to sell the business, the one who wants to keep the business. The one who, okay, and all the other folks who are going to jump up and want to give their opinion too. Just write it all out. Let them hold the pen and tell you their life story and why it needs to be this way for them to be happy. And see what you get.
So it's not just that I'm flaky.
No. Well, I mean, I don't know. You could be flaky. but that's not what we're talking about here. Yeah. And the, you know, the one who would label it that is another subpersonality.
Hmm. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. Okay?
Thank you.
Keep us posted.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks for calling, Beth. Sherry, it occurred to me that that technique that you just talked about is something that any of us could use
mm-hmm.
for any challenge or even for anything that's going well.
Yeah.
Is to see all of the aspects within us
yeah.
that have some opinion about that.
Yeah. You know, we all know the pros and cons thing. So you're going to, you know, you're offered a job at Terre Haute, and so you start writing out, well, the pros are this and the cons are that.
Yes.
And what people often don't notice is that one person is doing that. That's why you could do it the next day and get a whole different take on it.
Yeah.
You know, do it every day and get a different take on it. And it also tends not to include all of these other aspects who essentially have no interest in the subject. They're pursuing their own agenda.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's, it, you know, all those images of, you know, you just became house parent to about 20 unruly children. Those kinds of images that we can start feeling like, oh, you know, there's some validity to that. That's exactly what it feels like. Who are these people?
Absolutely.
And how am I ever going to make them happy? They don't even seem to want to be happy.
Yes.
Which is worth looking into.
And that can be our responsibility if we take that on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah.
You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call at 650-723-9010. I'd like to welcome our next caller, Molly from Sedona. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello, Sherry. Hello, Michael.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm calling with a follow-up. I had been having some problems in or struggling with some things going on in relationship in with parents and husbands.
Mm-hmm.
And something new has showed up, and I feel very centered, and I feel very grounded about it, but I want to check in.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm noticing is a lot of conditioning around the words acceptance and compassion, and just part of the, are you sure around, like, are you sure this is it?
Okay, so let me just catch up with you, okay? So
right.
You're feeling like you're in a place right now of acceptance. And you're feeling some compassion, it sounds like.
I feel like I am, but it's not what my brain typically tells me those things are.
Okay, but you're feeling that. And
I
then
am.
The voices are coming
but I'm
in.
I'm feeling peaceful about how I'm feeling.
Yeah, and then the voices come in to say, are you sure?
Maybe you're missing it.
Yeah, maybe you're missing it. How do you know? What if... Uh-huh.
Maybe you're so far off base, you don't even know how far off base you are.
Uh-huh. Well, I can clear this up for you immediately, okay? What we know is off base is the voice that is asking you those questions.
Yeah.
That's just a done deal, okay? So if you discount that,
yep.
Where does that leave you?
It leaves me where I am, and it's once again that acceptance thing around. I used to hear that acceptance meant that I didn't have any choice, and that I had to kind of, for lack of a better word, suck up whatever was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was,
and of course, that's my definition of resignation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're having an experience of a different definition of acceptance, And the way I would talk about it is that the conditioned survival voices in your head, your identity, ego voices, don't like it. So they're going to second guess you and question and doubt and maybe cause you to be a little anxious and insecure. And before you know it, by golly, you're not accepting.
Well, the interesting thing about it is that the voice is saying, but remember the part in the books that says, if you're not becoming more open-hearted and more...
But you are becoming more open-hearted.
Am I?
Well, of course you are. You're talking about peace and acceptance.
I feel very peaceful, but...
Yes, and
centered. It's about saying no to someone. And I think that that voice had always said, you can't say no. That's not accepting.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay, so open-hearted...
It's about saying, no, I really see what's going on here.
Uh-huh.
And I don't hate this person. I'm not angry. I just don't want to be in this dynamic, so
uh-huh.
I'm not going to be.
Uh-huh. Yes. There
and
you
I
are.
Feel like I'm taken care of, and yet those voices say, that's not very nice.
Uh-huh. Well, once
that's
again.
That's not very compassionate. Or
Once again, I can sort that out for you, okay? What we're doing is learning to accept ourselves. What we're learning to do is have our own experience of compassion, of peace, of joy. We don't say to other people, well, that doesn't seem very centered. Now, I can promise you it's not a good thing to say because people say it to me all the time. They will say things like, well, that doesn't seem very Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
You see? And so now the projection part of that is really fascinating because, of course, I would say saying that doesn't probably seem very Buddhist. You with me? Because we're not watching what other
right.
people are doing and deciding whether they are our version of Buddhist or centered or accepting or compassionate. It's the Buddha taught we each have one person to save. You must work out your own salvation diligently. Those were his final words. Okay? He didn't say you must work out your neighbor's salvation diligently.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine what a happy world it would be if everybody worried about their own issues instead of worrying about what somebody else is doing wrong? Wouldn't that be relaxing?
Yeah.
We would just all focus on ourselves and take responsibility for ourselves and look at how we're judgmental and critical and how we don't meet our standards, and how we want to be more open-hearted, and all of that. It would be very restful, I think. So any voice that's saying to you, well, that's not very nice, that's not very compassionate, you just know what it is.
So you really could be, I guess this is just kind of starting to warp my conditioning.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Wow, I could really just be kind to and compassionate to myself.
And you will be kind and compassionate
not worry
to others.
About
you will be
whether
kind.
Whether that was a kind thing.
No, you will be kind and compassionate to others. What conditioning wants you to believe is that if you're being compassionate, you will stay in a hateful dynamic with somebody.
Hmm.
Okay?
So if you're saying no, if what you're doing isn't okay with me.
No, you don't have to say that. You just remove yourself from the dynamic.
Okay.
Yeah, so Gandhi wasn't going to get in a fist fight with somebody because they wanted to be in a fist fight. Are you with me?
It's trying to get in there.
Jesus turned the other cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's not necessary to engage with somebody the way they want to engage in order to meet conditioning's definition of compassion. Compassion isn't necessarily nice, for the record, and it's often not polite.
So is it the part that I get stuck on is the part that says, well, is it okay not only to turn the other cheek but walk away?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. It's okay to do anything. What you do will become obvious to you once you stop listening to those voices. Okay. Once you stop believing what they're telling you, you'll be able to be in the moment, and then it will occur to you what to do. You'll know. Okay?
Thanks so much.
And then you'll let us know.
I will.
Excellent. Thanks, Molly.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks for calling, Molly. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. We've had some great calls today.
Yes. People are looking at some big, deep issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Voices coming at us with all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm. All the different parts of our conditioning, the aspects of our personality, trying to get back to center.
Absolutely.
Seeing what an experience of centered compassion is.
Wonderful.
Yeah, it's big. Big Zen stuff.
Yes. Phones are still ringing, which is great. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. And we're back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, I think this phone system's going to go into overload here in a moment.
Isn't that great?
It's great. Lots of callers. Quick announcement. At 6 p.m., we have DJ Deca with At the Cafe Bohemian. Some more great world music, just like Faux, before our show. So stay tuned for that. And at 9 p.m., we have the Bot of Euphony. I'd like to welcome our next caller. Marge from New Jersey.
Hi.
You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Right now?
Yes.
Right now.
Good
evening. Okay. Hi, Sherry.
How are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
Okay. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Okay. Well, I do the practice, and I do meditate, and I'm pretty regular with it.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I'm getting better. I go through these periods, and so I decided to take out one of your books, the Fear Book.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'm going to sit, and I'm reading it. It was early in the morning, and I was just sitting enjoying reading it, and then all of a sudden, I read something, and it just threw me into terror.
Oh.
Look at that, terror.
In the Fear Book, it's not designed to do that.
Well, it did for me, and it just scared me, and I guess I don't know if this is the avenue to talk to you about it.
Sure.
What was it?
What happened? What was that inflammatory sentence?
I know, you're great. I know, because I'm so serious when I'm reading this. It says, if you no longer believe what fear tells you, you will live, and it will not. Now, this is what got me. This is the point on the spiritual journey that almost nobody gets past.
Uh-huh.
It was the almost nobody gets past.
Uh-huh.
So, naturally, I'm in the almost nobody gets past group.
Uh-huh.
And I panicked.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm like, oh, my God, I'm working so hard on this. And I sit there, and I'm feeling what I feel, and I'm trying to stay in the moment.
Uh-huh.
And I panicked. So that's where I was. That's what I did.
Okay.
I absolutely panicked.
Mm-hmm. And the panic is, I'm going to be stuck here forever. I'm never going to get it. I'm never going to be truly free. What do the voices say? Uh-huh. Sherry said almost nobody, and so I'm probably in the giant group who's not going to make it through the eye of the needle.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And I want to say, but I'm working at it, and I'm trying, and I'm doing it. Maybe I can't do it all at one time, but what I can do is sit and moment by moment, work at it.
That's right.
And I work at it moment by moment. Okay,
that's
I'm
right.
afraid now, okay. But let me just keep chipping along.
That's right. Now, here's the thing.
Okay.
Here's the thing that I would encourage you to do with that piece of information.
Okay.
Don't be one of those people in that giant herd.
I know.
Keep doing what you're doing. Because if a sentence like that can produce this kind of terror,
yeah.
Think what real life circumstances could do.
Right.
Yeah. So if it's a question of, well, I have the evening and I'm going to just plop down and on the sofa with my chocolate bar and popcorn and watch a few dozen sitcoms, or
right.
I'm going to spend a little time this evening checking in, seeing what's going on with me, paying attention, bringing conscious awareness to this. Gosh, I don't want to be in that herd, so I'm going to pick choice B.
Right.
Yeah. So what it does, you know the expression we have in Zen, training as if your hair is on fire?
Right.
Now, if your hair is on fire, you don't want to just start running around wildly, okay? Because the air, the fire, it's going to burn faster. It's going to, it's not going to go well. nor do you want to, you know, take a couple of phone calls and do two or three chores before you put the flames out.
Okay? Right.
So you want to proceed in an intelligent, sane, efficient manner to the place that is going to free you from this potentially disastrous situation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That's what we're doing in awareness practice.
Right.
So you want to keep in front of you all the time that the odds are very good for most people that it's going to get worse before we're finished.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
When the Buddha talked about old age, sickness, and death?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if we want to be prepared as we can be for all of the eventualities of life, the very best thing we can do is work as diligently as we can to be as consciously, presently aware in this moment as possible.
Right.
So turn that, what I would say, that rush of adrenaline through your system. Okay, because that, does that sound right?
You bet.
Yeah, big
you
rush
bet.
Of adrenaline.
I was like, you know, I'm like going to do what Sherry says.
That's right, fight or flight, okay?
I'm just going to do what she says.
That's right. I'm just going to get on it, and I'm going to stay on it, and I'm going to use all of this adrenaline as enthusiasm, interest, energy, willingness, steadfastness, instead of letting it dissipate into unconsciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So a healthy little dose of, you know, the clock is ticking, can be very, very beneficial to us.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know that what's the saying? Pain is temporary. Pain is temporary. Pride is forever. And I don't. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's good.
And what I mean is that I kind of like know that I need to be like unhappy to so that I can be unhappy, and I can live with that.
No, you need to be happy. You need to be happy to remember so that you remember that you're happy, and being happy is not a you know, everything is going my way. Giddy, silly. It's an experience of well-being. It's an acceptance of life as it is, and a knowledge that you have and are everything required to be equal to life. That you are, in fact, life. You are the expression of life. And to stay in that place, to stay conscious in that place, you know, that's the place that egocentric karmic conditioning wants to pull us out of. It wants us to go unconscious so that we'll stay in these stuck, survival, misery, suffering places that it's used to, instead of moving over into this centered, compassionate, aware, kind, expansive sense of well-being that is our true nature. Okay? So don't fall for that old, I have to be miserable so that I'll pay attention. Pay attention because life is glorious and it's going to be over way, way, way too soon.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Keep working on it. Let me know.
I will definitely let you know.
Thanks, Marge.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Marge. Sherry, I was recalling from the Fear book, there's another page in there where it talks about that terror being sort of the last breath of egocentricity, so to speak. I can't remember the words exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. That we go along and we're facing things, and we're more centered all the time and moving more into that place of equanimity and well-being. And all of a sudden, we just hit a wall of terror. And it's because ego is losing its battle for our lives.
Yeah.
And it's kind of it's death throes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And of course, if we don't sort out what is egocentric karmic conditioning being afraid and what is ourselves being afraid, and I would say it's always egocentric karmic conditioning being afraid, the heart is never afraid.
Yes.
Then every time that happens, that big shot of adrenaline goes through, we think, oh my gosh, I'm really afraid. If we look carefully, I'm actually the awareness that is watching this shot of adrenaline that conditioning is labeling fear.
Yeah.
So it gets very, very subtle, and Marge is on the trail.
On the track.
That's right.
So in fact,
closing in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So in fact, it's not a wrong way sign.
Oh, it's a
right way.
Yeah, it's a, yeah.
Continue
in this direction. All that pounding heart and adrenaline flowing means you're getting close to where you're headed.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Phones are still ringing here. If you'd like to join us in the last couple minutes here, please give us a call at 650-723-9010, especially the men out there.
You're feeling kind of like the Lone Ranger
here? The Lone Ranger here. Because I know men have some issues as well.
That's right. We need to get those fellows on board.
Absolutely. We have another caller here. I'd like to welcome Marie Louise from Palo Alto.
Yes,
you're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Good evening.
Good evening. And thank you. I've spoken with you once before. And
yes.
This is sort of I really have a comment today. I'm not able to report to you about what I spoke to you about before.
Uh-huh.
However,
okay.
This is about that, for in my mind, as I have been listening, I was reminded of something that I experienced once, which was I was in a group of people in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and we had a question which was, have you ever experienced unconditional love?
Mm-hmm.
And one person in the group said, no, I've never experienced unconditional love, but I have experienced unconditional worry. And pretty good,
oh, dear.
Huh? And this is what I many times think of in, you know, when I listen to what people have to say and how you answer and such. I feel that, well, worry is so tied in our lives. So many parents think that they protect their children if they worry about them.
Yes.
And I think it's just like almost something that comes into our genes after that, that, mm-hmm. you know, as long as I worry, I'm a good parent.
Yes. Now, do you know that we have a T-shirt that says, worry is not preparation?
Oh, that's good, too.
Isn't that good? I
yeah.
just like to keep that around somewhere. In fact, I have it.
Uh-huh.
I have that T-shirt as my computer cover.
Uh-huh.
So whenever I'm near the computer,
that's
it's reminding
good.
Me.
That's
yeah.
very good. Well, a friend of mine who was busy in a group, back in time, said that they had the saying, their worry is optional.
Uh-huh.
And I love that, too.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. It's a choice a person can make,
yeah.
should they choose to do it.
It is.
But it's certainly not necessary. Yeah,
and,
it gives
and however,
us...
it's very hard to get a worrying person to understand that they're not doing one a favor.
Yes.
They claim that they're worrying for me
yeah.
or about me, you
yeah.
know, and I say, oh, please don't.
Yes, yeah.
Then it's like a slap in the face.
Yeah, yeah, so please don't waste, waste your life on that.
Right.
I'm not going to waste my life on it. Don't you waste
no,
your life
exactly.
on it either.
It's
yeah.
not a positive,
it's not a help.
It's not a positive way to set oneself in the emotions of life, I think,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
There are many, many better things to do, I
yes,
think.
Yes, absolutely.
But can I say one other little thing, or do you want me to be quiet now?
Well, if it's,
okay.
if it's yeah, quick.
Well, there was one conversation you had that I didn't catch the person's name. And you said at one point, the odds are good that it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Uh-huh.
And then she, after a little while, said, well, you know, I probably will have to learn to be unhappy or such. And I had a feeling that she was saying that a little bit in response to those words of yours. And I felt when you said it that what I wanted to say is that I think we first have to come to a place where we don't put good and bad on things at all, but that we can just live our life and not necessarily see, you know, hard, bad,
mm-hmm.
Pain, bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not having pain can be more painful than
oh, absolutely.
Not having pain.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pointing at that place of not knowing. We
right.
don't know. It's the
right.
that classic old story, you know, the guy has a son, one son, and he... he gets a horse and everybody says, oh, isn't this great? And then he tries to break the horse and the horse throws him and breaks his leg. And everybody says, oh, isn't that awful?
Mm-hmm.
You know that one.
Yes, I do.
And we can go on forever with that. And it points at something really significant. We don't know.
No.
We label things good, bad, right, wrong.
Yes.
And we don't actually know. Yeah.
No,
so
yeah,
good point.
We have to stick with it.
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
we do.
Thank you. You have many words of wisdom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Thanks, Marie Louise. Sherry, I saw a bumper sticker a couple days ago. It said, change is inevitable, growth is optional.
That's good too, yeah, huh?
That was good.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy. It's everywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to get a man here before the end of the hour.
But we'll keep trying.
We'll keep trying.
Yeah,
650.
And there's always next week.
Next week also.
Maybe it be the guys' night next week. The boys' night out or boys'
night. Boys' night, right.
Yeah.
Boys' night
on the
looking
radio.
In.
That's right.
All right. We have another caller here. I'd like to welcome Claudia from Sunnyvale. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Yes, hi, and thank you.
Good evening.
I'm newcomer to your station. I really am enjoying it.
Good. Wonderful.
And learning a
Welcome.
Lot, too.
Welcome.
Thank you. I'm a fire victim. I've helped this person for several years doing things, and I'm disabled. But he actually did it for insurance purposes to get a new house. So I lost my cat and everything and no place to go. I almost died. So now I'm out in Sunnyvale, far from the situation. And I have a brother. You know, I'm finally getting help, which the beautiful thing is I volunteer for helping people. And that's coming back, which gives you hope.
Uh-huh.
And the simplest little things I can't do, my brother asks me to write a letter for the attorney to pay my hospital bills. And, you know, I just can't do it.
Mm.
I keep trying, and that's part of my disability also. And I put my foot down to do it, and I get back further.
Uh-huh. So you could do it. I mean, you have the wherewithal to do it. But emotionally, you're stopped?
That in between is hard for me to write also.
Right. Uh-huh. So you could get help with that. Is that true?
I've tried, and then, you know, something's always came about.
Uh-huh.
And then once it comes up, it hurts really bad because I've been sick all my life and I've never been without a Siamese cat.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I need to have fulfillment.
Uh-huh.
And there was one other cat there, and, you know, it seems like one brick after another, which I'm standing really tall at instead of, you know, going all out of sorts like I normally would. I'm not going to allow that to happen. I picked up the cat, which, you know, I got attacked a couple of times to make sure I keep my mouth shut about the situation. I get a ticket to lose my license.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going, this is great, you know?
Uh-huh.
But it's a learning process.
Yeah. And so what do you think you need? What's the next step for you?
Yeah, there's so many paperwork I picked from up there. I, you know, really don't know. I've decided today I'm going to go through all those papers and throw everything away except what's really
good for you.
Top priority.
Yeah, yep. And can I give you a little piece of encouragement?
Oh, yes, please.
When you're doing this, when you tackle any of these things that's so hard, give yourself non-stop encouragement and praise.
Thank you.
Okay? So when you're helping somebody else, that's what you're doing. You're giving them nonstop encouragement, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know how to do it. You know what people need to hear in order to feel that they're doing a good job and they have support and they have encouragement. You know what you would say to somebody who is doing something really difficult.
Oh, exactly. It's like, you know, that's what I do best.
That's right. So guess who really needs to have the benefit of that expertise.
Yes, because someone asked me how I felt. I couldn't answer it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm learning to think all the things I do for these people.
That's right.
Think how I would feel.
That's right.
Being them.
Yep. So Claudia needs to have you as the volunteer helping and encouraging and supporting her.
Ooh, I like how you put that. That really works for me.
Good.
That does.
So you try it and let us know, huh?
Yeah, look, I'm so scared. I got a brother. He thinks, you know, everything's automatic, you know?
Yes.
But
he's not you.
I know, and he's just so non-understanding.
Yeah.
But yeah. Patient lately.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
No, that really works.
Good.
Well, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Take good care of her.
Oh, I will.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Claudia. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber, a virtual nonstop
evening You know, that's so great. Everybody needs somebody in their corner.
Uh-huh.
And we just don't have a lot of encouragement for realizing that we are really the best person for the job. You know, nobody else knows what we need the way we know what we need. Nobody
Absolutely.
Knows what we need to hear and just how it needs to be delivered. And by golly, you know, once we learn to mentor ourselves in that way, it becomes pretty unstoppable.
Yeah, because once we get tuned into ourselves, we can see what we need in every moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Exciting. And we're at the end of the hour. Wow, that was great.
That was great. I think we left one poor soul hanging.
Actually, I think they're taken care of.
Okay, good. And maybe they'll join us first thing next week?
Absolutely. Good. After all of the men call in.
After the men. In case it's a woman, then she will wait until after the, oh gosh, maybe a
Absolutely.
Ladies first under the circumstance. Well, we'll just have to see how it pans out.
Yeah, men's night out.
It's very exciting.
Next week.
Yeah.
August 12th.
August 12th. We'll
Great.
Be here.
I'd like to thank all of our callers, all of our listeners today.
Yes.
Lori and Jay have been kept busy there.
Yes. Our team of stalwarts.
Absolutely.
Yeah. With the people we have in our corner.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Very good.
Yes. Stay tuned to KZSU Stanford coming up. We have DJ Decca with At the Cafe Bohemian, some more great world music, and at 9 p.m. we have the Bard of Euphony. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.